So this morning we're going to have a little bit of youth group. That doesn't really mean a whole lot, other than they're going to be sitting in front of me, and this message is tailored a little bit more towards them, but we all can kind of glean from what it means to submit to God and how God can lead us and guide us, and how we have a life that's driven towards Him. So forgive me, I'm got some kind of flu-ish cold thingy, so we're going to power through it. I may have to cough to the side, but sorry. So let's just pray real quick. Father, we just pray, Lord, for just a divine peace this morning, Lord, as we read through your scriptures, Lord, and learn what it means to be submissive towards you, Father, and to find what our life meaning is, Lord. Father, it doesn't matter if we're 13 years old or way higher, God. We all are on that same path and that same journey, Lord, together, Lord, as a church body and family, God. And age is not a number when it comes to you, God, because we're all still your children. And so I just pray that this word would bless our hearts this morning. Amen. So submitting to God. So submitting to God unlocks your purpose. What's your purpose in life? Is it making $1 million? Is your purpose having 2 kids, a picket fence, a dog, going to a prestigious school that you've dreamt of? Now, I have 2 young people sitting in front of me who have big dreams, big thoughts about what they want to do with their lives. But have they thought that maybe God has a certain path for them that they haven't even thought of yet? Yes? Maybe? Maybe. So there's a lot of different scriptures that will kind of help us and reflecting on where we want God to take us and where He wants to bring us. Have you submitted your life to the Lord to lead, open the doors for you to walk through? There's nothing wrong with attaining your hopes and desires, but it shouldn't be the driving force behind your life. Finding your purpose in God and submitting yourselves for the work of the kingdom should be your purpose in life. It's very easy to get lost in your own needs, but God is wanting us to be about whose needs? His needs. Psalms 37:4 says, "Take delight in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart." When you live for you, you follow your own rules and your own boundaries, you're more susceptible to the small problems. And the small problems roll into being larger problems. And before you know it, those large problems engulf you, and you feel like you're drowning in a pool of your own problems. You ever had that happen? Yeah. But give Him a large portion of your life, and suddenly those problems don't seem so insurmountable. They seem smaller. They seem almost stuff that you can kind of handle because you've given your life to God. So give your life to God. So brothers and sisters, since God has shown you us great mercy, I beg you to offer your lives as a living sacrifice to Him. Your offering must be only for God and pleasing to Him, which is the spiritual way for you to worship. Do not be shaped by this world. Instead, be changed within by a new way of thinking. Then you will be able to decide what God wants for you. You will know what is good and pleasing to Him and what is perfect. So it's giving up yourself to know that, like what it says here is, your offering must only be for God and pleasing Him, which is the spiritual way for you to worship. Do not be shaped by the world. Instead, be changed within by the new way of thinking. So your thinking becomes God's thinking. So the more time that you spend invested in God, the more time that you're going to be invested in what He wants of His kingdom. Is submitting to God easy? Yes? No? No? Sometimes? Depending on what he wants? I think no. Submitting to God is not easy because we were born of selfishness. We were born of me, my. Now, my youngest has discovered the word mine. So, and I can't remember, there's a movie with some birds and they go, mine, 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 mine. Is that Finding Nemo? Okay. So he walks around the house and he's, mine, mine, mine. Grabs the cookie, grabs this, grabs that. He's all over the place. But that's his thing right now, is everything's about what can I get? What, you know, not, now he does like to give hugs. I'll give him that. But when you're at that age in your life, it's about collecting things. It's about getting the food. It's about getting the love. It's about, and that sort of thing. The toys, yeah, the toys. So it's not easy. Sometimes we aren't happy with the results Think back to when you were a child. What did you do when you didn't get your way? You know what that's like, right? For those of that have kids. The pouting. The, I'm going to do it my way. Now, I remember when I was probably about 10, 12 years old, and I thought I knew everything. You know, like, I thought my parents didn't know a single thing. I could go out and, all right, so I took the car out for a drive. Big deal, right? 10 years old, I took the car down the road for a drive. I thought I could drive. I've seen my parents drive. They weren't home. Well, they were down the street, but they weren't, you know, they thought I was responsible enough to stay home with my brothers. Little did they know that I decided that I wanted to take a quick joyride. So I popped the keys in, started the engine, tried to reach the pedals, put it into neutral, went down the road, put it in drive, started to drive. Now, I was driving before you. Mm-hmm. I know how much you want to drive. And guess what? They didn't know about it until they drove up the yard or up the road and saw the car on the side of the road with me looking out the window. Needless to say, I was not driving until I was probably 18. I'm kidding. I did drive. So we pout, we whine, we cry, we stomp our feet. We throw a temper tantrum when we don't get our way. And as an adult, the same response, hearing no from God, can be very similar, minus the outward expressions. Sometimes His timing isn't our timing, and we have to know that He has our best interests at heart. Learning to submit to God means learning to trust Him, follow Him, even though we don't think it makes sense. Think about it. Have you ever prayed for something and it didn't happen? Has that happened? More than once? Yeah. Could it be maybe it wasn't our timing? Maybe it was God was waiting for something to trigger? James 4, 1 through 12 says, God causes fights, quarrels among you. Or, I'm sorry, not God. What causes fights? I'm sick, okay? Sick in the head, Adam. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something, but you don't get it. You kill and you covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask. When you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred towards God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think Scripture says without reason that the Spirit He caused to live in us envies us intensely? But He gives us more grace. That's why Scripture said, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. It doesn't get much more simpler than that. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Brothers, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against his brother or judges him speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But you who are you to judge your neighbor? Do you remember when you were a kid? Do you remember not handling things well? How did you handle not getting your way? When we don't know how or don't want to submit to God, we usually respond in three ways. We stop praying for specific things or stop praying completely. So we start to lose a little faith, and we start to get downtrodden, and we think that praying isn't working, seeking God isn't working. We doubt that God really exists or prayer works, and so we come into a place where we feel like God's abandoned us. We feel like God doesn't really care about what we need. How do we overcome those responses? And those, you know, being real, that's human. That's how we feel sometimes. That's how I feel sometimes, especially when I'm sick. And I want God to move, and I want to see Him move, and I want Him to take care of me. We have to get real with God. We have to sit down. We have to say, God, I know who You are. I know who I am. And Father, I need You to lead me because I'm not strong enough. So get real with God. What does getting real with God entail? Listening? T- talking, kind of like how you talk to your friends on Facebook. That's how you get real with them. When you hang out with somebody, you're just chatting about the day. Hey, Van, how's it going? How's Duke? Oh, they're doing really well. That's great. That's great. See, God doesn't care about the thous and the thus. He's not like that. He cares about us sitting down. God, I feel horrible, and what I said was horrible, and can you just change me? It's just as simple as that. He doesn't want to hear all the fluff. He doesn't need the fluff. He just wants us. He wants us to be real. He wants us to talk like we normally talk to one another, because he's always listening. Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh. He put his foot down. Jesus was even reluctant to go to the cross. Prayer has the power to change our hearts and minds. Find your quiet place and relate with the Father. So if you don't have a quiet place, what's a quiet place? A quiet place is somewhere where you can be alone between you and God and not be interrupted by somebody. My quiet place used to be the closet. Okay, so when I was at Elam, the times when I wanted to be alone with God, I couldn't find any place. Because when you go to a college, there's people everywhere. They're in dorms, they're in bathrooms, they're in the showers. They're just like, you know, like it's like ants in a hive, or bees in a hive. And so, sickness. I don't know. My words are just getting ahead of me. But I had to find a closet. Like, we had two closets in our dorm room. So, and of course, clothes were filled in them. And the only place I could think of hiding was in the closet. But those were the best times I ever had with God, because it was just me and him talking and me sharing about, you know, what I wanted to do with my life and where I wanted to go. And then he shared with me about things about myself and where I was going to go after Elam. So find your quiet time, find your quiet place, find a good spot where it's just you and him. It could be in the car. It could be, you know, taking a walk. But it's important for us to communicate with God that way, because when we don't, that's when the enemy has a foothold and he can kind of start whispering things in our ear when we don't have that communication and that connection with the Lord. Amen? Trust God's plan for your life. Proverbs 3-6 says, "In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight." When you're able to fully trust God in your true submission to the Father, doors will open, and God will receive the glory in your life. So you guys know that I'm a big Star Wars fan. And in Star Wars, the end of the end of A New Hope, there's Luke hanging out in his X-Wing. And he's going to destroy the Death Star, right? And he has his targeting computer on, and he's ready to blow up the Death Star through this little tiny hole. Now, why a big, massive weapon, thank you. Big, massive weapon has a hole that can be, you know, a hole where something could, a torpedo can go through and destroy it is beyond, you know, anything, you know, why, how we can think about it. But, so he's about to blow it up, and he hears this voice. Lou, trust your feelings. Trust me, Lou. And it's Obi-Wan, and, you know, talking through the Force and guiding him to turn off his little targeting computer and just go for it and shoot the torpedo through and blow up the Death Star. And so he had to let go of himself, let go of his own grip, and just let Obi-Wan and the Force go through. Find your purpose. Become an overcomer. God has a place for you in his house, no matter your age. Your purpose and destiny are wrapped in one. Solomon says in Ecclesiastes that life is all about honoring God with our thoughts and our lives, and thus keeping his commandments. For one day we will stand before him in judgment. So it's important for us to know that submitting ourselves opens up purpose in our life. Submitting ourselves opens up the doors of destiny in our lives, because we're giving unto God what is his. And Rick Warren has a clip that we're going to listen to. Then he goes on, talks about Hezekiah and how Hezekiah was starting to grow old. And Hezekiah said to God, "I'm not ready to go yet." And because he was submitting himself to God continually, like two or three different times, Hezekiah didn't want to leave this earth, and God kept extending his life. So it's really interesting. And it's about 8 minutes, so go ahead and just follow along.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Saddleback. I'm Pastor Rick. And, of course, this weekend I'm not with you. I'm actually on the other side of the world. I'm here in Kigali, Rwanda. Rwanda is a place that has a very difficult past, but it's got an incredibly bright future. And so I chose it as the place to talk to you about your future. You know, this next week we begin to cover 40 days of purpose, which is all about living the life God planned for you, for your future. And I thought, what a better place to do it than right here. I'm standing on the grounds of the Genocide Memorial in Kigali. And a place of great pain and a place of great sorrow is now a place of great joy and great gratitude as people are seeing what God is doing in this country. And I don't know what's happened in your life. I don't know all the things that's gone wrong, but I do know this. Your past is your past. It's over. Your past is past. It's not your future. And if you will focus on the future and what God wants you to do, you can overcome all kinds of obstacles, just as this country has. Now let me ask you a question. If I were to ask you, who do you think was the most successful king in the Bible? Who would you name? Some of you might say, well, I think David, because he wrote the Psalms and he faced off Goliath. Some of you might say, well, I think Solomon, because he was the wealthiest, he was the wisest king. But actually, the greatest king in the Bible was a man named Hezekiah. The Bible tells about him in 2 Kings chapter 18. If you look there on your outline, the Bible tells us this about Hezekiah. He was 25 years old when he became king. He was a young man. And he reigned in Jerusalem 29 years. And he did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight. Hezekiah trusted in the Lord. In fact, it says there was never another king like him in the land of Judah, either before or after his time. He remained faithful to the Lord in everything. Imagine that. And he carefully obeyed all the commands the Lord had given Moses. So the Lord was with him, and Hezekiah was successful in everything he did. Now, can you imagine that? How would you like to be successful in everything you do? I'm certainly not that. You're not that. But the Bible tells us that this guy was. Hezekiah was. And it says he was successful in everything he did because he always did what God wanted him to do. Now, he lived this an amazing life. But then an unusual thing happened. Hezekiah got sick. In fact, he got a terminal illness. And God said in Isaiah chapter 38, it tells us this story. And God says, Hezekiah, your time's up. I'm pulling your number. I'm pulling the plug. And I want you to come on home. And Hezekiah gives a 32-word defense to God on why God should let him live longer. That defense is right here on your outline in Isaiah 38. It says, later Hezekiah got sick and he was about to die. And the prophet Isaiah said, prepare your affairs and your family. This is it. You're going to die. You're not going to get well. In other words, don't pray. You're not going to get well. But Hezekiah turned away from Isaiah and he faced the wall and he prayed to God. God, please, I beg you, remember how I've lived my life. I've lived faithfully in your presence. I've lived out of a heart that was totally yours. And you have seen how I lived and the good that I have done. And here's the amazing thing. It says, then God said, I've heard your prayers and I have seen your tears. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to add 15 years to your life. Can you imagine this? Can you imagine bargaining with God and saying, God, look at my life and let me live longer? Now, Hezekiah lived a pretty good life. And yet when he got terminally ill, he said, God, I want to live a little bit longer. And God said, you know what? You're right. I'm going to extend your life. And let me ask you three questions about this as we start our time together today. First thing I'd ask you is if God asked you to give you the reasons why he should let you live 15 years longer, what would you say? What would you say? Hezekiah said, look at the way I've lived, God. I've done what's right. I've been faithful to you. What would you say if God said, why should I let you live longer? If God reviewed the past 15 years of your life, and that was the basis of what he was going to give you next, would he give you 15 years more? Would he? The question I want to ask you this morning is, are you willing to use the rest of your life, whatever it is, the way God wants you to use it? That's what we're going to talk about this morning. Now, actually, we're going to look at it for the next 6 weeks as we go into 40 days of purpose. But I want to just cover a preview of why it's important, why we're doing what we're about to do. Why are we going to do 40 days of purpose? Well, there are actually five reasons why we're going to do it. They are the five reasons that God wants you to use your life the way He intended for you to do it. The first is, He wants you to use your life and to center it around Him. God wants you to center your life around Him. Now, He didn't want you leaving earth not knowing Him. He wants you having a personal relationship with Him. But He wants more than that. He wants to be the center of your life. The Bible says that we're to seek first God's kingdom. In fact, look at what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 22. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. He said, this is the first and greatest commandment. What does it mean to center your life on God? It means that He becomes the nucleus, the focal point of your life. A lot of people want God as a part of their life. It's kind of like a pie. Well, I got my sex life, I got my farm life, I got my sports life, I got my business life, I've got my social life, I got my church life. Oh yeah, I got a little slice for God over here. God doesn't want to be a slice of your life. He wants to be the filling. He wants to be the center. You were made by God and for God. Until you understand that, life isn't going to make sense. Now notice that verse when Jesus was walking down the street one night, a guy came to him and said, what's the most important command? And Jesus said, here it is. Love God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. That's what He said. I want you to love me. God didn't say, I want you to serve me. I want you to follow me. I want you to do rules and rituals and regulations. Those are all important things, He says. But He says, first and foremost, love me. Put me at the center of your life. I want to be the hub of your heart. I want to be the axis of your existence. I want to be the focus of all that you say and do. Now, the most important thing you can do in your life is love God. And the most important thing God wants you to do is learn to love Him and let Him love you back. And the Bible calls this worship. We're going to talk about this during 40 days of purpose. You know, whenever you focus on God, one of the things that happens is your problems get smaller. And you have a big God, you get little problems. And you got big problems, you got a little God. It's all what you focus on. And God says, make me the center of your life.
Have you found your purpose in God? Have you found what God wants of you to do? Where to go? Who to talk to? If you ever get a chance to read The Purpose-Driven Life by Rick Warren, my mom gave it to me when I was 18. So like I graduated high school, and she's like, here's a book. I'm like, I think I'd rather get a check. But let me tell you, that book like changed the direction from what my plans were to what God's plans were. Because I was lined up and I was ready to go to community college. I was ready to jump into just a regular business degree. Now, I've gone back to school since then and I'm doing IT work. But God has certain doors for us to walk through where we may not even know those are the doors to walk through yet. And so after reading that book and understanding that my life was more than just going and pleasing myself to understanding what God wants me to do, that's when I decided that I was going to go to Bible school. Not pushing Bible school on you, but what I'm saying is for me, I had something specific, God had something specific.
I want to share two examples. Okay. And I also want to mention, you know, I remember being that age too. Now it's a lot further back for me than it is for him. But at that point, you think that there is only one plan, and you just have to find and do that one plan. Well, since then, I think most of us that are older would say it's really seasons. Like finding out what you're to do for a season and going after it. And then what is the next season and the next season.
Yep.
So I know I was in this season where I was working in York. And I had gotten two certificates in computer, one programming and one operations, and I really wanted to do computer work. I mean, it was the new thing, and I got hired by a company that was the only one at that point in the entire nation that was designing kitchens with computer. You didn't have personal computers back then. Businesses had computers, but they had about as much memory on them as you now get on a memory stick. Oh, not even that much, like a tenth of that. But this company, for national accounts like Sears, designed all their kitchens in York, PA by computer. So I was hired to manage two departments there, And then in a couple months, they gave me another department. A couple more months, they gave me another department. And within a year of being there, the only person above me was the president of the company. We got bought out by the Formica Corporation, a national company. They told us that we had all kinds of advancement opportunities. So I was on my way in the corporate world. And so I'm driving home from York, which was an hour drive to and from every day. And I'm coming home, and the Lord said, if I asked you to, would you give up this job? I said, no. Yeah. Who do you think eventually won that argument? So after about 2 weeks, I got to the point that I said, okay, God, so this is bringing it back to your message. I realize I would not be happy doing anything unless it's your will. I thought I knew what I wanted. I thought I knew what my plans were, but I'll only be happy doing your will. So I made this really bold statement, because once I make a decision, then I'm in it. I said, I will go wherever you want me to go. I will do whatever you want me to do, even if it means going to Africa as a missionary. So that Sunday, I show up here. And I came in early to help. Now, this is going back years. Pastor Dick, get ready for the morning service. And what I used to do is come in and pass around the bulletins. And so I was doing that. And I said, so, what's happening today? Anything special? He said, yeah, we're having a missionary from Africa here today. I got so weak, I had to sit down. He said, what's wrong with you? And I said, oh, just something between God and I. So, just like a change of your plans, when this guy said, so, I'm taking a crew to Africa for 2 weeks, who's going? Already knew my answer. What a surprise. I said yes. So I had a couple months to pray about this, and why did God want me to resign my job, and why did he want me to go to Africa? So I was getting an idea of what that meant. I go to Africa. Back then, no cell phones. You went to the local municipal building, and you stood in line to make a long-distance phone call back to the U.S. $14 a minute. And it sounded like you were yelling down a tunnel. And then you would hear the answer come rolling. I spent the week to her on the phone, and I said, hello, 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 hello. Hi, 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 hi. I know now what we're supposed to do, do, do. And I'll tell you when I get home, home, home. Goodbye. So she thought that, yes, she was packing up the two girls that we had at that point and moving to Africa. So when I got home and I said, the Lord directed me to quit my job and to go to Bible school. She goes, I can do that. So not my will, but his will. So then this guy, he and Becky got a call from Pastor Al that said, would you guys pray? I really feel you're to leave Albany and come down here and be our youth leaders. So they prayed for a couple months. They felt that God said, yes, that's what they were to do. So they both quit their jobs and they moved down here. And Adam had a job coming down here and it didn't work out. And so he was out trying to find God's direction for his life. So this was just what this message was about. Okay, we heard from you, we moved, we're here, now I don't have a job, what are we to do? And I shared with him that we have always prayed, God, close every door that's not your door. Because you realize every opportunity is not God's opportunity. Mm-hmm. So sometimes you have three or four opportunities, you need to find out which is his will. So close the doors that are not your doors, open the door wide that is your door. So he called me one day when I was out of town. I don't even think he knew I was out of town. And he said, I just was for a job interview, and I didn't get the job, and now I'm being offered another job, and what should I do, Dad Gibb? So I said, well, we're going to pray that God closes every door. See, so we prayed that. And I said, sometimes when we hit a closed door, and a closed door, and a closed door, what did I say? Do you remember? You don't. It means that we aren't knocking on the door that he wants open. And so he prayed about that, and he said, I feel like the door that God is opening is
coming here
to go to school.
Oh, yeah.
To go and be trained in IT.
Yeah.
And so that was your stepping into and submitting to God's plans for your life. And it wasn't any of the doors he was expecting or thought that it was, but God opened the door and you went through.
So. Yeah. Thank you. So you have to recognize your doors, right? We have to have discernment to know which ones to walk through. Because we know how you guys are getting older, and you're looking at schools and thinking about opportunities and all sorts of stuff as they're giving you these funny little grins. But it's real, and it's coming, and so, you know, we want the best for you guys, and we want what God has for you. And listen to your parents, guys. Listen to your parents, because they are, you know, and we know both your parents, and we know how great role models they are for you guys. But parents have a lot of wisdom, even in-laws, especially in those times when you don't know the direction. God has appointed them in front of you to kind of ease you in a certain direction as well. So thank you all for bearing with me.
Thank you, Pastor Adam. Well, let's stand, and then I'll close in prayer. So Heavenly Father, we thank you that you do have plans and purposes for our lives. You have places for us to go and bring your kingdom. You have people for us to encounter and share your love. You have places for us to bring life and hope and joy and peace into those situations. And so we ask that you would continue to lead and guide and direct us through every season of our lives. And that as we continue to walk through those with you, you tell us that if we lack wisdom, to ask and ask expecting. So any here today that just are looking for wisdom and direction, we're believing you to provide that, whether it would be through talking to them directly, whether it would be through the Word, whether it would be through counselors or mentors, spiritual fathers and mothers you've brought into their lives, but that they would come to know what your will is for this time and this season in their life. You also tell us to allow the peace of God to rule, allow the peace of God to be the deciding factor. So, Father, give us peace when we're walking in your direction, and so that we're clear that we're going where you want us to go. We're doing what you want us to do. So, Father, we just pray and release your blessing over each one today, that as they leave, that they will leave convinced that you love them and that you are more than enough to meet all of their needs. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great day.